The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said, "Truly I assure you, whoever does not enter the sheepfold through the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and marauder. The one who enters through the gate is shepherd of the sheep, and the keeper opens the gate for him. The sheep hear his voice, as he calls his own by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of those that are his, he walks in front of them, and the sheep follow him because they hear his voice. They will not follow a stranger, such a one. They will flee because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Even though Jesus used this figure of speech with them, they did not grasp what he was trying to tell them. And he therefore said to them again, "I solemnly assure you, I am the sheep gate, and all who came before me were thieves and marauders. The sheep did not heed them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be safe. He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to slaughter, to steal, to destroy. But I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Happy Good Shepherd Sunday. You don't have to get all that excited, really. But it is quite a celebration. Good Shepherd Sunday comes, fourth Sunday after Easter, to celebrate again the Lord shepherding us. And then it is also attached to Vocation Sunday, where we pray for those in the vocation of shepherding, those who are teaching, those who are in the catechesis of the Good Shepherd, instructing our young people. It certainly is something to celebrate. How interesting the readings are in these post-resurrection days, where we follow the Acts of the Apostle and the emerging church, and great dynamics unfolding there. I want you to hear again the first reading. "Then Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and proclaimed, 'Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made both man and Lord, the Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified.'" He has made him Lord. God has made him Lord. Peter? Was that the same Peter that was there on Good Friday? I mean, that's pretty bold. He's saying, "My friends, God has made him Lord, this Christ whom you crucified." It's quite a difference from Good Friday. You wonder, man, what was he drinking? Right? That would be one way that we would address it. What has he got going that we don't have? And the obvious, the very simple, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. People only speak in the Spirit in that kind of a bold and courageous manner. And then Peter is in the second reading. He says, "Beloved, if you are patient when you suffer for doing what is good, this is a grace before God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps." So if you could punch in now on your pads in front of you, how many of you suffer patiently? And we will register the votes. I mean, realistically, how many people suffer patiently? So what is Peter talking about? He's talking about a great truth that we miss. We are so concerned in our world with getting rid of pain. In fact, much of our ontology is directed toward getting rid of pain, getting medications to fix. Even being with people, we want to fix them. We want to fix them constantly. And then the gospel, and Peter particularly, he knew a lot about pain and struggle. Particularly coming through with this kind of a thought, whatever you're suffering, deal with it patiently, because the Lord has a plan that he is bringing about in this. Do you think about it that way? We're not wired to think about it that way. We got to redirect in order to bring ourselves into that reality. Because we have such an obsession just to get rid of pain. Think of all the things we do in our world to try and get rid of pain. We got to get them before they get us, right? Founding kind of fundamental attitude in human nature. And what we do is we inflict more pain and we say we're going to try and diminish the pain. We know it doesn't work. And what Jesus is saying to us and what Peter is saying to us in this letter, it's amazing that we have so little from Peter throughout the New Testament. This is the only place we hear from him in his letter. I'd love to hear more from him, just based on this. He goes on to say, speaking of Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that free from sin we might live for righteousness. And then the telltale line, by his wounds we have been healed. What in the world does that mean? We say it over and over again. Every Lenten season, when we come and do the Stations of the Cross, we say, by his cross we are healed and our sins forgiven. Is that my belief? Or is that just something I say? And that's the difference maker. Because what St. Peter is saying here, by his wounds we have been healed. While Peter was speaking specifically to the slaves, and he was addressing himself particularly to them because they had the heaviest burden to carry. And Peter was particularly aware of that, a heavier burden than most everybody else, being slaves. And Peter was aware of that. But his invitation was much broader, addressed to all of us. By his wounds, we have been healed. What a great thought. But we've got to ask ourselves, how do you become healed by the wounds of others? We had our retreat day yesterday for the Discovering Christ, the sixth retreat day, I guess. And had you been present, you would have understood this text. People being healed by the wounds of others. People are healed by the wounds of others all of the time. And that is our core story and message. It is not the core story of the world, but it is the core story of Christianity. By his wounds, we are healed. And so Peter could say, be patient when you are suffering, because the Lord is bringing about some extraordinary values and goods. Anne's husband died. He was merely 44 years of age. He died of a heart attack. And in the days following the funeral, Anne was distraught, beside herself, in terms of trying to make sense of all of this and find faith, which she couldn't do. But she had the support and comfort of friends who came about to be with her. And it's quite difficult to be with people in that circumstance, especially when they tend to be closed to possibilities of what might be taking place and how all of this might pan out. And Anne was struggling greatly, and many people who came, they were trying to alleviate and take away her pain. But what she needed most was just people to sit with her. And eventually some of her friends said, Anne, why don't you go on this retreat for the bereaved? It's a weekend retreat. And reluctantly she agreed, and she went on this retreat. And she was terribly surprised when she got on the retreat to find that most of the people on the retreat were not widows, but rather they were separated and divorced people. And that shocked her. Because she began to think in her own mind, well, this is not my group. She said, those people, she said of herself, she said, I thought those people, if they worked harder, they could be with their husband. They could change their circumstances because their husband is living, but my husband is dead. He was a good man. He never smoked and drank. He never ran around or did anything wild. He was a good family man, and he stayed at home, and now he is dead. And so she was shocked, and when they broke them up into groups, as they tend to do at these retreats, she was placed at a table, and she was really shocked to find that she was the only widow at that table. And she resisted the conversation greatly, thinking to herself, I have nothing in common with these people. And as she sat there and people attempted to engage her, and the leader of the table asked her if she would like to share anything about herself, and she said simply, I'm not going to be staying here. But she had one great grace. Even though she didn't engage initially, she listened. And she heard something astonishing. She began to realize that the other people had suffered also. The people who were separated. People who were divorced. Some of them had put up with terrible abuse and terrible difficulty in their lives. But what touched her most of all, she said, was especially when she heard of the suffering of the children. And gradually her eyes were opened. She had no idea what went on in other people's homes. She just had one image of marriage, and it was hers. And she thought all marriages were just like hers. She realized that she had it very good. And she began to change in her attitude. And since she hadn't felt sympathy earlier on, now she began to really feel close and connected with these other people at the table who were also suffering. And when they adjourned and she had an opportunity and was invited to change to another table, she said, no, I won't change. She said, these are my people. And she stayed at that table. And they asked her to share about herself. And when she spoke, she told of her own life and her own experience. And one of the women at the table said to her, wow, what I wouldn't give for one day in your life. And she was so struck by that. She began to change and open up, and the weekend proved to be a turning point in her life. She was healed by the wounds of others. It's the heart of the Christian story. Suffering has the grace and the ability to soften hardened hearts, and it enables people to enter into the world of suffering where everybody has suffering. It has often been said that if all of the sufferings of the world were thrown into one large heap, each would willingly take back their own when they recognize the magnitude of the burden that many others carry. In reaching out to others, we move out of our isolation and into the world of shared suffering. In the simple act of showing empathy for others, there is a healing in it for us, being available to them. Compassion comes from the Greek words compassion. It means to have passion with, to suffer with. It has got to be the hardest thing for a human being to do, because we live in a world so obsessed with taking away and getting rid of that suffering. It's hard to sit with people and to allow them to be. That was Jesus' ultimate gift. Remember how gentle and caring he was with the woman at the well, and sat with her and invited her to speak and to share about it. Unless you have suffered and wept, you really don't understand what compassion is, nor can you comfort someone who is in need of compassion. Unless you have cried and you cannot dry the tears of another. And indeed, unless you have walked in darkness, you can't be a guide to wanderers along the way. But if you have suffered indeed, you can become a pathfinder for others. You can know the compassion of the Lord, and you can know what Peter says, to suffer patiently, knowing that the Lord is bringing about another greater good that I never dreamt of. The wounds of others can help us to cope with and recover from our own wounds. No wonder Peter could say, by his wounds we are healed. It is so essential. We know it innately, but we find it very difficult to practice. It's by reaching out to others from our own wounds that we ourselves become healed. Shared pain is a little bit like shared bread. People who share bread together grow together in relationship with the individuals that they are breaking bread with. That's what Eucharist is. Why would this not be the fruits? The fruits of breaking bread together, the fruits of sharing hurts and sharing wounds together is intimacy. That should be the result of Eucharist. That's what Eucharist is about. Being drawn into Him so that our wounds may be healed. If we can draw encouragement from the wounds of others, how much more from the wounds of Christ, who is the Good Shepherd? Those wonderful reflections of Him today as the shepherd, they're difficult for us to understand because we don't know shepherds. Anybody here know a shepherd? No, because we don't have them in our country. And in fact, there are very few places in the world where they have them. They have them in New Zealand that I know of, and in Israel. And out from that, very limited. We have sheep farmers all over Ireland. You know, it's just putting sheep out into pastures so that we can have meat to eat and we can trade them in the market. Jesus, in speaking to them about being good shepherd, he was talking about healing their wounds, picking them up, carrying them home, bringing them to life. And it would have made wonderful sense to those people who were listening because they knew that was exactly the truth, just the way he presented it. That the shepherds lived up in the hills and they lived in their little kibbutz and they would get together in the evening and share their stories and had many great stories indeed. And in the morning time, they would walk out ahead of their sheep and just start calling out and the sheep recognized their voice and they would follow them, follow their own individual shepherd and the other ones would go out and they would call out to their sheep and their sheep would follow them and they'd lead them to pasture. It's a great reading. And Jesus is saying, that's who I am in your life. And whatever woundedness or brokenness, it's by my wounds you are healed.